Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Always a blessing to see the family of God, to be with the family of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the family of God. We thank you for this fellowship. But more than anything, Lord, we thank you for fellowship with you. We thank you, Lord, that you came in with us this morning, Lord. And you said where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, you're in the midst. So this morning, Lord, we lift our hearts and our lives to you in praise and worship to you. We give ourselves to you, which is the highest worship we can give, Lord. And Lord, this morning we want to please you. We want to bless you this morning. And Lord, in return, we thank you for your word that you're going to direct us. You're going to edify, build up, comfort, and exhort in love your people today, Lord. And you're going to bring change that's necessary for growth. And Lord, we praise and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God his tithes and our offerings. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have to come before you and worship you today. We thank you for each and every person that's here, Heavenly Father, because we know how much you love each one of us. We ask you to bless each of us here today, and we pray that we can be a blessing to you, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless and multiply this offering that we are about to take so that we can continue to help not only the missionaries that we support at this church, but also our local ministries around our local neighborhood here, Heavenly Father. We ask you to help us to have open ears to hear what you have for us today, Heavenly Father, so that it can become a part of our lives and that we can live it every day and be a witness for you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray these things. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I just want to say personally for Pastor Justice, on behalf of the Lord and Margaret, thank you. We hit a milestone last week. When you come to the place where, and there people here are givers, but when you come to the place where you sacrificially give, and I believe we saw sacrificial giving last week, we were able to bless them with, from what I understand, the largest gift we've ever given anybody, to bless them. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? We're not to suffer loss? And when you do something like that, that's not a mistake. When you give, you're lending to the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach a sermon on giving today, but I want to say thank you on behalf of the Father and behalf of Pastor Justice and Margaret. I'm proud of y'all. I'm blessed that we did that. I can promise you there's blessings coming to those people who were involved in that. Not that God's not blessing you already, but I mean a greater blessing. Amen? When you start giving in your need, then that's when the real blessings come. Amen? Not considering yourself, but considering others. Hallelujah. I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of the Father and them. All right? Hallelujah. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And that means our mind and our will and our emotions are in check under the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will tell you that Wednesday night, for those who weren't here, little Michael, my grandson, came with me. And when the service was over, Michael asked Donna and I if we'd pray with him, and he gave his heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. You might as well rejoice. The angels are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 3 John 2 says, no greater joy than my children walk in truth. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 55, and then bow your head. Father, this is your time, and we are your people. Lord, we look to you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one who's begun a good work in us, and you're going to perform, and you are performing that work until the day you return. So, Lord, we surrender to you. Lord, we open our hearts and minds. We do have, as Bill prayed, open minds, receptive hearts this morning for your word. We give honor to your word, Lord, and we honor you. We praise you. We worship you. You are worthy, Lord of God, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for insight, for wisdom, for understanding, Lord, for illuminating our understanding today, Lord, in Jesus' name, helping us understand even deeper and more richly what we've decided to do as people who have decided to walk and live with you and for you, Lord. Bless your people this morning, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory. Use me as your vessel. Touch my lips with a coal from off the altar of God. Hide me behind the cross and let Jesus be magnified in this house today. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55. Hallelujah. This is probably one of many of my favorite scriptures. But it's important. This morning I want to talk to you about a change of heart. And it's not going to be what you think it is. Every person in this room, as far as I know, has had a change of heart. But there's more to it than just thinking about the heart. What is the heart? The heart and the soul are one and the same thing. If you look at the definitions in Strong's, you'll find in the Old Testament, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's a Hebrew word. I'm not going to give you the Hebrew word. If you want to know, I believe it's 55:13. And then in the Greek, in the New Testament, it's, I forget what it is, 55:90 or something like that. I don't know. We'll go through and maybe I'll have it written down here. I'm not sure. But it's not important what that is. It's just important that we understand the meaning of these words. What does it mean when you ask Christ into your life? What are you doing? What are you asking Him to do? Let's read Isaiah 55 and we'll go on from there and we'll find out and have a better understanding at the end. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, you who have no money. He's a pearl of great price. Doesn't cost you money. Doesn't cost you red's nickel. But it costs you everything. That means your very life. If you heard me earlier, I mentioned the fact that the highest praise you can give God is giving your life to Him. That's the highest praise. Living your life for Him. Letting Him have control of your life. In every aspect. Every nook, every cranny, every thought, every deed. Amen? Every action. Giving your life to Him. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, for that what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and let your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, translate and meditate, folks, delight itself in abundance. What abundance? The abundance of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. See, when Jesus comes in, what we're doing, when we ask Him into our heart, He's coming in, and what He does is He begins to take over and not force, but where He's given permission, take control of your mind, your will, and your emotions. He takes control of your thoughts. He takes control of your appetites if you surrender to Him. Did you hear me? If you surrender to Him completely. When you surrender to Him, there's not, you know, surrender is not surrender till it's surrender. You got to give everything. Everything. And you ask Him to come in to your heart. What your desire is, you realize that you need a Savior in your life and you need a change. Something that'll change you. Something. And when you got born again, didn't your appetites change? Didn't your thoughts change? Didn't your attitudes and things begin to clean up and get righteous instead of unrighteous any longer? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go back. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make you an everlasting and make an everlasting covenant with you. An everlasting covenant. A covenant can't be broken. The only way to break a covenant is through death. Amen. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people. Who is he given? David, as a witness to the people. An example. A leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. Why? Because of the greater one who dwells and lives in you. Amen. The one who's taking control of your thoughts and emotions. Your will. Yeah, you got to give up your will. I mean, it seems like a big thing. But I promise you the rewards are eternal. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth bud. Talking about bringing forth fruit. Amen. That it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. See, how many know that one of the biggest issues we have in our lives before we know the Lord is our money? Oh, come on, don't shout me down. Amen. Amen. It's our money. That's the biggest struggle. And how many realize where the enemy attacks 99% of the time is in the mind? That's where your struggles are, is in the mind. That doesn't mean we can't have some physical problems that the enemy tries to attack in, but 99% of it is a battle of the mind. Amen? So if Jesus came into your heart, He came in to change your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts, your appetites. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out from my mouth. Listen carefully. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper. Listen carefully. It not only goes out and accomplishes what it's sent to do, but it prospers, glory to God, in the thing for which I sent it. Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. See, before you know the Lord, all kinds of crazy notions and things, all kinds of things going on in your life. But when you know the Lord, those things begin to grow dim in the light of His glory and grace, in the knowledge of Him. Amen? Almost all attacks, once again, come to a believer. They're attacks in and of the mind. When you prayed the sinner's prayer, you invited Jesus into your heart. You became conscious of a need or a void in your life, really in your heart or your soul, which is all one and the same thing. They're not disseparable. They're the same. Maybe a different word, but they all mean the same if you look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew. When you become conscious, you perceive or apprehend or notice with a degree of controlled thought or observation that you need a Savior, or you felt to a degree that something was missing in your life, you needed a change, or that you did not have or feel a sense of fulfillment, safety, and security in your life. Amen? Is that right? Hallelujah. See, what I'm giving you here, part of this is Merriam-Webster's dictionary giving the definition. Number two, that we read number one. Number two, you shared another's knowledge or awareness of an inward state of or an outward fact. What other persons? First of all, somebody came and shared Jesus with you. And then also when God moved in, when the Spirit of God moved in, you began to understand that you needed Him. And really, truth be known, He needed you. He needs you. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Oh, God needs me? Yes. Yes. Amen. You were created for praise and worship and for fellowship with God. That's right. You realized that something was lacking or missing in your life because you became aware of and realized that void in your life. You, number three, personally felt your need for a Savior. And finally, your thinking became marked by a strong feeling or notion. You became aware of your need for Jesus in your life. Did you hear that? When you got born again, when God finally moved on your heart by the Spirit and you heard the truth, your thinking became marked by a strong feeling or notion. The notion that you needed the Lord, that you were incomplete, that there were things lacking, that your life wasn't happy. How many know there's only one way to get fulfillment in your life, and that's by living for Jesus? Amen. That's the only way. You're never going to be fulfilled. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to be satisfied anywhere but in the hands and the arms of Jesus. Walking in the light as He is in the light. Knowing the truth that sets you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to what Revelation 3:20 says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Jesus wants to come in. You know, I've told many people here, some of you are new, you haven't heard, one of the greatest struggles I had as a young believer was the fact that I thought that I had to get good and then God would come in. And the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder one day and said, "No, Bill, you got it backwards. You got the cart before the horse," which I had a terrible propensity to do as a young Christian. He said, "Bill, I come in so that I can clean you from the inside out, one step at a time, one issue at a time." Are you with me? Are you hearing me? He comes in and He takes that garbage. That's what He's there for, to lead you and guide you, to order your steps in His Word so that you can be a changed, delivered, glorious person who's out ministering for the kingdom of God and seeing great profit. Didn't we just read in Isaiah 55? His word that goes out will not return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. And not only that, it prospers in the thing for which He sent it. He sent you. Amen? Everybody say, "He sent me." You are His feet. You are His hands. You are His voice in this earth today. Amen? And you're not on your own. You've been given the Comforter. He dwells inside along with Jesus. Glory. Glory to God. Dying with Him. You've got fellowship with Him. You have fellowship with Him and with one another in the Lord. When you pray the sinner's prayer, you're asking Christ into your heart. But let's translate and meditate that. You're asking Him to come into your mind, your will, and your emotions and your appetites and to change you. You're wanting Him to change your thoughts and perceptions. You desire to have your mind renewed and your heart. Well, your heart is your mind. They're one and the same. If you don't believe me, look it up. Go to your Strong's and look it up. I trust that's what you're doing anyway. I pray that's what you're doing. And we hear a warning come from Romans 12:2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by" what? How are you transformed? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove once and for all what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. You're asking not to be like the world anymore by the renewing of your mind. You're asking to let the presence of and the knowledge of God come in and change the very essence of who you are and what you are. One Sunday and then last Wednesday night we talked about the curse of the law and the fact that we're not under law anymore. And the reason for that is because you've been changed. Do you realize that when you said, "Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, and make you the Lord of my life," that you were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not subject to the world's ways. You're free. And what does the Bible say about your freedom? If He sets you free, you're what? Free indeed. Free indeed. Glory to God. When you serve the Lord, you don't need the law anymore. The law brings a curse. We talked about that Wednesday. If you need, I think Patrick got a CD. Get the two CDs on that. We're not done with that either, by the way. I'll tell you what, I'm having fun with God revealing things to me about the law and the bondage that the law of man and the law of Moses brings, the Ten Commandments. Those are guidelines for us. But we've made them law. And if you're under law, you're under bondage. You're never free. You're a servant of the law. But if you're born again, you are freed from the law. You freed from the curse of the law. The curse is the reminder that you need, that you're, you know, you're not a good person. Wrong. How many have had a change in their life? Amen. Glad to see Brian's hand back there. I guarantee you, he's had a change. Those of you who remember when he walked in here a few Sundays ago, I mean, he was a basket case. And he's not the same man today, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're asking not to be like the world anymore by the renewing of your mind, letting the presence and the knowledge of God come in and change the very essence we are. We've said that. Once you renew your mind and heart, which are one and the same thing, Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety should go. Worry, care. He tells you to cast your care on Him. Be anxious for nothing. Well, anxious just means that you're, you know, you. It's like I get the, when I think about that, I think about the father standing up there just kind of wringing his hands and pointing at you and saying, that's my child. That's my child. I just love him. I can't wait to bless him. I can't wait to bless him. The Bible says he whirls about with a violent emotion over you. Over me? Over you. By the way, I want to thank you for the freedom you had this morning. We welcome that here. I hope it's contagious. I'm glad you have that liberty and feel that way here. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen carefully, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. What peace? The Prince of Peace. Amen? The knowledge that you're not under the law anymore. You've been set free. You have an advocate. Amen? The law has been done away. See, the law is equated with sin. The law is what reveals you that you're a sinner. But Jesus took all that away, didn't He? Did He or didn't He? Once and for all. Nailed it to the cross. Buried it in the deepest sea. Removed it as far as the east is from the west. To remember it no more. So you stop. Finally, brethren, verse 8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. See, before you were born again, you fussed and fumed over everything. You meditate on everything that would drag you down, put you in bondage, make you feel like you were stomped under somebody else's feet, make you felt like a doornail, make you felt like you had no power. Amen? But now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Did you hear me? You have His righteousness in you because the righteous one dwells within you. Not your righteousness, it's His righteousness. But you're righteous and you're just in God's eyes. You've been made free. Free from death. Free from the law of sin and death. From the curse of the law. And now, with Jesus in your life, in your heart and your mind, He's taking over and changing your thoughts and your attitudes. Amen? Is He? Hallelujah. Gene, get ready. If you want to, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. 5 verses maybe. 3 verses. 4 verses. In Proverbs it says, verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Listen carefully, for out of it spring the issues of life. You say, Bill, what are you talking about? In your heart, which is your mind, will, and emotions, everything that comes up are the issues of life. And if you don't know Jesus, they're out of control. If He's not taking control of your mind, your will, and emotions, then everything's an issue for you. Amen? Everything's an issue. Worried about what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, worried about your job, worried about your car. Oh my God, what am I going to do about this? Or, oh Lord, what's going to happen if this happens? Let me ask you a question. Are you safe? Now don't all answer me at one time. Are you safe? See, if you understand salvation, the word sozo or sozo, that's being saved from something to something and being safe. Amen. Amen. Unfortunately, we have a will, though, and if we choose to believe the things that come against us or put our focus on that, then they can have an effect on our life. Amen? How many realize where you are today is a direct result of where you were yesterday and what came out of your mouth? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Oh. Did y'all catch that? Or did that get by you? Hallelujah. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips. Far from, what does that mean, a deceitful mouth? That's casting down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Are you with me? Taking captive every thought. Instead of speaking out the things that you see in front of you that are attacks, and let's face it, the enemy attacks the mind. Why does he attack the mind? Once again, he's trying to steal the word from you. The devil doesn't hate you. He hates what you stand for, and he hates the word of God. And that's what he's after, is to steal that word. He comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He hates the word of God. Because you see, he's powerless against the word of God. Anybody who serves the Lord, he doesn't like. That's why the attack comes. You get born again? What was it? Somebody recently. Oh, I know who it was. One of our dear people here was just talking about the enemy attacking from all kinds of different sides. That's a sure sign you're on the right way. He hates the word because the word is what will defeat him. The word is what defeated him. Y'all are looking at me confused. The word says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. But what does it say in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word's already defeated him. The living Jesus, the living Word, has already defeated him. Made him look like a clown. Made an open show of him. Made a mockery of him. Took any power that he had and returned back to us the dominion that was given to Adam and Eve in this life. Glory to God. We have dominion. Say to me, say out loud, the dominion has been restored to me. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established. Established by what? Why? Because of the Word. Because your mind, your will, your emotions. See, I'll tell you what. If the enemy attacks and you get sidetracked, that means your emotions are not in check. Everybody has emotions. Emotions aren't wrong. God didn't do away with your emotions. But if they're controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. In fact, I'll tell you what, if he's got control of your emotions, he's got control of you. Hallelujah. Verse 27 says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Three places in the New Testament. Matthew 22:37, if you're taking notes. Mark 12:30. And Luke 10:27. We are told by those three different disciples, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Three different words in our language, but mean the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all of your emotions. with all of your mind, your heart, your soul. Amen. And then Proverbs 141, verse 3, in closing, it says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips." How many know it's your mouth that gets you in trouble? Amen? It's your mouth that gets you in trouble. I can't help it. I love the example. I usually use some goofy names like Gertrude and Heathcliff or whatever. But anyway, that time of the year again, and Heathcliff says to Gertrude, he says, "Well, Gertrude, it's flu season, and I'll be the first one to get the flu." Then he comes up with the flu and can't understand why he's got the flu. See, the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Why do you hide the Word of God in your heart? Anybody? So you won't sin against Him. What does that mean? Do something contrary to His Word. Or say something contrary to His Word. Or act contrary to His Word. Amen? The Bible says we're a peculiar people. Oh yeah, we are. What we have, the world didn't give us. And praise God, the world can't take it away. Amen. Hallelujah. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen. Which surpasses all understanding. I want you to see today a deeper meaning and have a deeper understanding of what happened when you invited Jesus into your life. He came in to change your thoughts, your emotions, your appetites. Make them godly instead of worldly. Amen. To change the Adamic nature in your life. To do away with it. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed. In other words, don't be patterned after this present age or this present world. But be metamorphosized by what? The renewing of your mind. And how do you do that? The washing of the water of the Word. Continually. I'll promise you, if I only took a bath once a week, y'all wouldn't want to be around me. If I don't continually wash my mind with the water of the Word, you still won't be wrong to want to be around me either. Amen. God is good. So good. He loves us. And He's given us everything. Everything. He didn't leave out anything that pertains to life and godliness. Amen? If you're not where you want to be today, don't be frustrated. That's an emotion. Don't let that frustration control you. Let the love of God and the Word of God, which says that when the seed's planted, it brings forth fruit in its season. In its time, not yours. Amen. In its season. If there's something in your life that you've been frustrated with, that you've been praying over and over and over again, God, I want this gone. Two things I would tell you. First of all, pray the prayer, God, make me willing to be made willing to do your will. I surrender. And surrender. And remember that the Bible says not to be weary in doing good. Because in due season, in your season? Amen, buddy. No, in God's season. One of the biggest struggles emotionally we have is the timing of God. God's never late and He's never early. We don't worry about the outcome. We just worry about the time. Because we're impatient people. Amen. Amen. We're impatient people. I thank God for the change in my heart. Let me rephrase that. The ongoing change in my heart, in my mind, my will, and my emotions. I've given up my will for His. Are you? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It goes beyond just saying, Jesus, come into my heart. You need to understand what you're actually asking, what that really means. Amen? Hallelujah. You love the Lord today? Hallelujah. I guarantee He loves you. And once again, He's promised to give you all things that pertain to God and life and godliness. He, not enough promise to, He has given you all things. And you know the cool? You know, with God, it's Christmas every day.
What are you talking about, Bill?
What I'm saying is, you walk with God, God's got a new package, a new delight, a new insight for you every day. Amen. Amen. Every day. See, when you got Jesus, you really did get that gift, that proverbial gift they talk about that keeps on giving. Amen. And all He asks in return is you. That's all He wants is you. You were slaves of sin. You didn't complain then. But the cool thing is, when I became a slave of God, that was my desire. I didn't feel like I was in bondage anymore. I willfully committed to Him my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Bless you. Are all hearts clear? Anything we need to pray about? Either the Holy Spirit's done a thorough work, or you people are totally confused. I believe the first, the Holy Spirit's done a perfect work. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we do lift up those who are not here. We thank you for them, Lord. We stand in behalf of them, Lord, in their stead. And we lift up their arms, Lord. We speak to the powers of darkness in Jesus' name because of the dominion that you've restored to us. And we take authority over you that's been given to us, Lord. Satan, get your hands off God's children, God's anointed. You're commanded, and we're commanded, not to touch God's anointed. And if Jesus Christ lives within these people, then they are God's anointed because Christ is the anointed one, and He lives and dwells in us. So now I thank you, Lord, that they're free from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, to their very tiptoes, Lord. That they're free. They're healed. They're set free financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, and health-wise, Lord. You said, Jesus, and we know that to be a fact, that by your stripes we are healed. And then you put the period on it by going to the cross. And taking all of our sickness and sin on you. Financial lack, Lord. You took it on you. So now we're free. Free indeed. So we see the sickness and the disease and the problems going back on the one who sent it. Just like little Desiree as she prayed about the warts, seeing them on the devil's nose. And as she got that picture, you healed her, Lord. The warts were gone. And she could see them. She had in her mind's eye. The eyes of her understanding were illuminated to see those warts on the devil's nose. We thank you, Lord. We're free. We're free. In Jesus' name. Bless your people. Go with them. Let I thank you that your countenance shines upon them. That there's peace in their life. And they're blessed coming and going. According to your will, Lord, and your word. We sanctify our food and our fellowship this afternoon, Lord. And go with your people, Lord. Bless them. Seal your word in their hearts by the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus' name. Amen.